It used to be that in India, if you could afford luxury goods such as a Louis Vuitton purse or Rolex watches, you took a weekend shopping trip to Singapore or Dubai. And in a country that believed in the socialist ethic, you didn't flaunt those luxury purchases too openly. But that was the India of yesteryear. Now India has a booming economy, and as more and more Indians find themselves with disposable income, they also are able to buy pretty much anything they want locally. While there are still deep pockets of poverty throughout the country, it's hard to ignore the current crop of the newly minted rich. Somina Sangupta is South Asia Bureau Chief for the New York Times, and she now joins us from New Delhi to tell us more about these nouveau nawabs. Thanks for being with us.
Sure.
What is a nouveau nawab, first of all?
A nouveau nawab, as I wrote in the story last Sunday, it refers to a new crop of very wealthy Indians who not only have the money to buy global luxury brands as well as Indian designer brands, the important change is that they can buy it all here, they can buy it in cash, and it's quite acceptable these days, as you said in your introduction, to flaunt it, something that just wasn't cool even a few years ago and wasn't wise. Because the tax regimes were such that you really didn't want to go around town displaying your Louis Vuitton bag. And now that's quite different.
So that's a real cultural shift in India, brought about by the economic changes there, you're saying?
Yeah, it's a reflection of, it's a reflection of one clear thing. This is a country that's witnessing a rapid rise of wealthy people. It's a very small cross-section of Indians, to be sure, but it's visible. And these brands, whether they're luxury brands like Louis Vuitton or Christian Dior or Chanel, or they're Indian designer labels like Tarun Tahiliani or Manish Arora, they signal arrival. They signal to others like you that you've made it. And the really interesting thing is that the benchmarks of affluence here are changing very, very quickly, so that what was once considered extremely posh, going on a vacation to Thailand or going on a shopping spree in Singapore or having a child study in the United States, those things signal that you were part of the elite. Well, those benchmarks are changing, and there are many more people who can avail those things today. So you've got to keep up, and
yeah,
you've got to flaunt a slightly different kind of label now.
Somina Sangupta is the New York Times South Asia Bureau Chief. If you have any calls for her about the new India, you can contact us at 800-989-8255. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. You know, I mentioned also, Somina, that there are still very deep pockets of poverty in India. How do these two things exist together? What is there a tension there?
They have existed together in this country for a very long time, and they continue to. However, it's clear that the display, the unabashed display of wealth, does make it much more conspicuous. That there's a social divide. In other words, you can live in India today and buy all that is most coveted in the world, just as you can live in India today and be denied the very, very basic necessities of life: clean drinking water, a place to sleep, enough food in your stomach.
You know, there was a story on National Public Radio this morning, actually not about someone who was flaunting his wealth, but who is a wealthy Indian, and he was talking about the dangers of being attacked because you're wealthy, or kidnapping. I mean, is that a real thing?
There are parts of India where kidnapping is virtually a cottage industry, but much to my surprise, in the major cities of India, where there's enormous poverty side by side, poverty is not even the right word for it, where there's enormous and striking destitution alongside sort of living cheek by jowl to enormous wealth and affluence, what is striking is that there isn't more crime.
That's interesting. We've got a call now from North Carolina. Tom, hi, you're on the line.
Yes, my question is there a thriving middle class there, and is there a disparity between the very rich and the very poor like there is in China? And China's building, I know, a middle class, but does that exist in India?
Sure, there is a growing middle class, and it is that growing middle class that American economic interests are very much focused on these days. Walmart is very much looking forward to coming into India, which it is not yet allowed to do, and that is precisely to to make a beeline for that Indian middle class. But the super wealthy that I'm talking about are really at another level, as they are in our country, as they are in the United States. There's a huge difference between those who can afford to buy, an outfit from the Chanel shop in Delhi, which, by the way, costs a great deal more than the same products in the Chanel shop in Paris, and those that are just now making it into the middle class.
All right. Thanks for your call, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder, I mean, even for the middle class, are there more products available? I mean, maybe they're not buying Chanel, but can they get more in India now than they ever could before, just in terms of?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in the last 15 years since the economy has opened up, there is a great proliferation of foreign goods that are very easily had. There was a time not very long ago when if you were an ordinary middle-class Indian, luxury meant having a car, an Indian-made ambassador car. Luxury meant...
Samina, I'm going to have to interrupt you. We're just out of time, but thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Samina Sengupta is South Asia Bureau Chief with the New York Times. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington.